Parasha that we're learning is Parashat Bishalach. Parashat Bishalach, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, has one mitzvah in it. And the mitzvah is actually related to the Shabbat. Actually, Shabbat is mentioned for the first time in this week's Parasha. It's so great, the Shabbat, that God couldn't wait till the Aseret Dibarot, so we get a preview from Parashat Bishalach. So in Perek Tet Zayin, in Pasuk Chav Tet, the Pasuk says, Re'u ki Hashem natan lachem haShabbat. Look, ki Hashem natan lachem haShabbat. God gave you the Shabbat. Al ken, Hu noten lachem b'yom ha-shishi lechem yomayim. So therefore, on Friday, you're going to get a double portion of the bread, because we don't want you to go collect anything on Shabbat. Shabbat's, you know, the day of rest. And then the commandment, another mitzvah, Shevu ish tachtav. Everybody sit in their place. Al yetze ish memekomo bayom ha-shivi'i. So nobody should go out of their place on Yom HaShivi'i. What does it mean? Al yetze ish memekomo. You cannot leave your place. So you have to sit in your chair the whole day. You have to stay stationary the whole day. So Rashi comes along and right away says, Al yetze ish memekomo. Elo alpayim amma shel tchum Shabbat. Oh, so he says, this is the law of tchum Shabbat. Interesting that even though you're walking, the Torah limits our distance, even one that travels by foot. And they call that the Tchum Shabbat. Rashi says, Elu alpayim ama. This pasuk is referring to the 2,000 cubits that the Hachamim instituted. The Hachamim, I said Hachamim. So Rashi says, Velo b'meforash. It's not really explicit in the text. She'en techumin ela medvrei sofrim. Rashi holds that the Tchum, at least the Tchum of alpayim ama, the Tchum of 2,000 Amma is Midrabbanan. V'ikaro shel mekra al lokteh man ne'emar. The Pasuk primarily talking about the people who are collecting man cannot go out and collect. So really the original Tchum was for Ochleh Haman. But then the rabbis came along and they established a rabbinical enactment of 2,000 Amma when it comes to how far we could walk outside the confines of the city. So Rashi says clearly it's medvrei sofrim. The Sefer HaChinuch in this week's parasha in Bishalach, so I guess it's Mitzvah number 24. So he says over here, Ve'alpayim ammahem medrabbanan. Like Rashi said, Alpayim ammah. La'pukem harambam. It's not la'pukem harambam really, because the Rambam himself, in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Chav Zayin, Katav, the Alpayim, the Rabbanan. So Alpayim Ama is the Rabbanan. Interesting. The Rambam holds like that also, like Shitat Rashi. The Alpayim Ama is the Rabbanan. The 2,000 Ama is the Rabbanan. Do we have a Rambam here, Rabotai? Shabbat. L'chot Shabbat, Perek Havzayin Alakha Aleph. I'd like to read that Rambam just to get some clarity first. To get our feet wet a little in this law of Tehum, because there are some issues that have to be dealt with regarding the law. It's a strange law. Limits me where I could even walk on Shabbat.
Put it in the office.
It's locked?
Yeah.
8419. We should have it in your computers, no? You don't have the Torah on your phones? Perek Perek Chav Zayin Alakha Aleph. Let's see the way Harambam. Oh, you got it? So let's see over here. Perek Chav Zayin, the Rambam writes, just to get make sure that we have the right. Hayotzei chutz latchum ha-medina b'Shabbat loke she-ne'emar al yetze ish v'mekomo b'yom ha-shivi'i. So anybody that goes outside the tchum on Shabbat on purpose, he gets malkut. Now, what does it say? Al yetze ish v'mekomo. It doesn't mean from his seat. Makom zeu tchum ha'ir. Ve'lo natna Torah shi'ur latchum zeh. The Torah really doesn't tell us what's the shi'ur. Abal ha'achamim mi'atiku. Ha'achamim mi'atiku means the ha'achamim have a tradition. Shetehum ze hu chutz l'shnem asar mil k'neged machane Yisrael. Oh. So the ha'achamim understood that this was said to the Jewish people in the Midbar. So when it says there's a tchum, it means outside of the 12 mil, because that was the shiur of Mahane Yisrael. The camp of Israel from point A to point B, from beginning to end, was 12 mil. So the distance that was forbidden from the Torah, according to Harambam, was 12 mil. Now if each mil is 2,000 amah, so therefore from the Torah, the Isur was 24,000 amah. I'm not interested in miles. I'm talking about Amma. Min HaTorah, it's forbidden to go outside the Tchum 24,000 Amma. That's what Rambam is saying. That's when you make the Isur.
So you go up 2399, stop and you go.
That's correct. I could even walk 24,000. I can't walk 24,001. Then already you're out of bounds. V'chen Amar Lehem Moshe. Rabbeinu, lo tetzu chutz l'machaneh. Don't go outside the machaneh. Where is the machaneh? However long the machaneh is. So you're able to go from one end of the machaneh to the end, which is 12 mil, which incidentally, by the way, if you want to break it into different configurations, it's 3 parsa. Every parsa is 4 mil. So basically from the Torah, it's forbidden to travel 3 parsa. Well, if it's 12 mil, that's asur, and 3 parsa is the shi'ur. So the way you would figure that is, you would do 3 divided by 12. So 3 divided by 12 is 4, and therefore each parsa would be 4. It's, it's called division. So that's min ha-Torah. 3 parsaot, which is a long distance. Then Rambam writes, u'medevrei sofrim, and the rabbis come along, shelo yitze adam chutz la'id ela ad alpayim amma, aval chutz la'alpayim amma asur. Oh, so this is an incredible law here. Then the rabbis came along and they instituted the 2,000 amas. So they took it from 24,000 to 2,000. Or if we want to go into meals, they took it from 12 meal to 1 meal. Each meal is 2,000 amah. So therefore, if 12 meal is 24,000, 1 meal is 2,000. That's also division. So therefore, very, very interesting halakha. Amazing halakha you see. First of all, you see, the Torah had one shi'ur, and the hachamim came along and for some reason cut it by a lot. Why? What was the problem? What was the reason for them to, you know, minimize how far we could walk outside of the city? What happened? The rabbis reacted to something. They didn't just come along now and cut it from 24 to 2. Just stam. There had to be some type of impetus that caused the hakamim to do that. Number two question that I will ask is, Harambam clearly says that even if you walk the 24,000 amah, or the 12 meal, or the 3 parsa, you get malkut. That's not the normal punishment for Isur Shabbat b'mezid. The normal punishment for Isur Shabbat b'mezid is mitah, sekilah. Tchum Shabbat has its own punishment, different than any other Isur. And that punishment is what? Malkut. If you went 24,000 Amma, you get Malkut min HaTorah. If you went 2,000, you get Malkut from the rabbis. I think it hurts just as much if you're getting it from the Torah or from the rabbis. It's the same whip, it's the same bailiff. It's just with the Kavanah that he has when he hits you. Why is that only punished by Malkut? Furthermore, what's the understanding of Isur Tehum at all? Why should there be an Isur Tehum? I'm walking. I understand I'm not in a car, I'm not in a bus, I'm not in a rickshaw, I'm not on a bicycle. Why should Nachamim restrict me from walking any distances on Shabbat? Now, if I wanted to explain it, I'll be, you know, the shot level, I'd read you what the Sefer HaAinuch says. Sefer HaAinuch says, Tam mitzvah zu, the reason for this mitzvah, Lizkor tamid sha'olam mechudash ve'eno kadmon. You know, the keeping of the Shabbat reminds us that there's a creator to the world. The world doesn't happen. There was a time, like we learned, I don't know how many hours ago, there was nothing there except God. And then the world came about. Ki sheshet yamim asa bayanach. God rested on the seventh day. Kasher erachti. Al ken mitzvah ahu lanuach bayom ha-shivi b'makom echad. So therefore they want you to emulate God that he also rested on Shabbat. So they want you to rest in one place. Shelo lelech lemirchakim. They don't want you to go to far off distances. Like derech tiyul, you're allowed to take a tiyul, walk, you know, a leisurely walk. Ubahalichot yud bet meal, but if you walk 12 meal, up to 12 meal, entor achrav. But after 12 meal, that's a journey. That's already an excursion. So therefore, the underpinnings of it is, you got to rest on Shabbat. Because God rested on the seventh day. So not only do we rest from melacha, but even we rest from travel. So up to 12 meal, you can call that a leisurely walk. Once you pass the 12 meal point, already you're going on a journey, which is already showing that you're doing something a little more active on Shabbat, which takes away from that inyan of vayanach b'yom ha-shivyoi. That's the Sefer HaAinuch's understanding. Now you tell me, oh, what do you mean? Up to 12 a meal is a leisurely walk, and 12 meal and 1 second is and 1 foot. All the shiurim of the Torah is like that. There has to be a cutoff point somewhere. Well, you're going to tell me, 40 se'ah in the mikveh is kosher, 39.9 is not? Yeah. You have to put a cutoff point somewhere. So, ad kan, tum Shabbat. After that, so that's the simple understanding of the Tehom Shabbat. So it needs understanding. The Shi'urim need understanding. The reason for it needs understanding. The Malkut Shebo needs understanding. Now, Tehom Shabbat is a very central halakha. I mean, there's a whole Gemara dedicated to Tehom Shabbat. Eruvin is dedicated to Tehom. And there's Masechet Shabbat, and then this Tehom gets its own Masechet. You know, a lot of Eruvin is Tehomim. How do you draw up the city? Where does the city lines end? If there's houses in between? All the details, you know, look at Eruvin. Making a eruv so you can carry 2,000 amah from your shevitah, makom shevitah, like we learned it. But today we want to understand the depth of isu tehomin. Although I intended to explain it last night in the shiur, but last night I gave an introduction to the concept. I wasn't able to get to it. I thought maybe I'd wait till next week, but already we'll say it now. Let's consider this the part two of last night's derash, which was a very, very important derash as well. And, you got the feed in Muncie? You got it already? It's Mechta Basifet already? How was it received in Muncie? Wow, two guys showed up, Rabotai, this week. Unbelievable. So in order to explain it, Rabotai, you need some introductions that are from Rabbeinu Ari. We're going to try to explain these introductions, as easy as possible. As we know, we have olamot. The highest olam that we always talk about is atzilut, and then we have b'riyah, and then we have yetzirah, and then the world that basically we're living in is asiyah. So this whole world that we're in is just one of many olamot that are above us. Even when they take the rocket ship to the moon, they're still in Asiyah. Even if you go to the sun 96 million miles away, you're still in Asiyah. And even if you go to further than the sun, if you can, you're still in Asiyah. So we don't even know where B'riyah starts. And then you got another whole world called B'riyah. It's bigger than this one. Or Yetzirah, Then you go to B'riyah, and then you go to Atzilut. So there's worlds and worlds, frontiers that are beyond our. However, the fact that God put a neshama inside of us, and the neshama comes from Atzilut, from the highest world, so that gives us automatically a connection to all of the ulamot. So our behavior clearly influences the olamot. That's a big thing. Our behavior has an ability to, have an impact on the olamot because we have a piece of the olamot inside of us. So it's like min bimino, we're on the same frequency as the olamot. That's an important yesod to know. And by the way, at certain times during the week, we're able to move with the olamot. You know, certain times the olamot move a little. There's elevations. So as the olamot move, we jump on the bus and we move up with them to high. So it's possible that you can be in asiyah, you know, you're standing in asiyah, but your neshama is able to, you know, levitate to a higher level. As on Shabbat, by the way. On Shabbat, again, you're walking on Ocean Parkway, you look like you're standing on this world over here, but your neshama is holding by, you know, a different world. You're in a different world on Shabbat. You have to know that. There's elevations that happen on Shabbat. I want to discuss the elevations that happen on Shabbat, and I want to discuss why they happen on Shabbat. Shabbat is a tremendous kiddushah. All right, Gary, everything's fine? Okay, right. 3 phone calls in 5 minutes. No, I want to make sure everything's good with you. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Guys ordering a meatball sandwich. It's important. Now, the Olam Asiyah, so Olam Asiyah, you know, is made up of 10 parts. Like every Olam, by the way. This shouldn't get you nervous. The top of the Olam is called Keter. Next to Keter, to the right, we have Chokhmah. To the left, we have Binah. That's the top. That's the crown, exactly. We call that the brain of the Olam. That's the top part of the Olam. And then as you move down, always right, left, center. That's the configuration of Olamot. You'll have Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet. Chesed, Gevurah. As an abbreviation, we call that Hagat. Chesed. Now, and you move a level. If I wanted to compare that to my body, I would say that's here. Right hand, left hand, you know, torso. Sammy on the money today. And then if I want to go one level down, I would call that Nesach Hod Yesod, which is Nahi. Nesach, which would be the legs. The legs and the Brit Milah, let's say. That's the 3 parts, basically. Lower body, middle body, upper body. So that Olamot are configured. I should say, really, our body is configured in the style of the Olamot. The Olamot came first. If I want to understand God, I look at my body and I can understand the way the Olamot are configured. No problem. Under, so that's Yesod on the bottom over there. And then Malchut is on the bottom of that. That's the basement level, let's say. And we are the lowest world. What's underneath us? There's no world. No world's underneath us. There's no olam under asiyah. We are the lowest level. However, under asiyah is what's called the kiliput. That's the underworld. That's the underground. Now, the kiliput are, if asiyah ends here, at the tip of my fingers, let's say, the kiliput are right here. No. These are the scavengers and the mazikim and the shedim and the demons that are all trying to grab from the kiddushah. So they always are trying, because they're on the border. You understand? They're right at the border. So on the bottom of asiyah, very, very, very bad place. It's the dark side all hangs out over there. And, you know, during the week, the battle is to keep them down. Because they want to come up and it's a fight. One of the main reasons why we read the Ketoret during the week, the Ketoret that we read, is for that function. To keep the kiddipot from, you know, coming up. However, something incredible happens on Fridays. on Fridays, in Shamayim, they push the elevator going up. And now all of a sudden, there starts to become the Aliyah of the Olamot. The Olamot start to move up. Now what happens is, as the Olamot go up, the Kelipot want to take a free ride. Remember, a tailgate. And they want to hold on to the bottom of whatever is going up. They hook their latch onto the bottom. And as it's going up, they want to take the ride up. Which would be a very, very terrible thing. Because if the Kelipot can get into the Shabbat, they can take from the Shabbat. They can ruin the Shabbat. So we have a tremendous avodah to keep the Kelipot down. This is the avodah of Yom Shishi. To keep the Kelipot from moving up as the world starts to lift to different madrigot. I'm so far understanding. That's why, for example, the Arizal writes, we have to do a lot of things on Erev Shabbat to influence this. Number one, we cut our nails short. Because the Kelipot are on the overhang of the nails. So when we cut our nails on Erev Shabbat, that's already subjugating the Kelipot. Cutting the nails on Erev Shabbat is not hygienic. Alone. It's not only because you don't want to go into Shabbat with long nails. It's the kavanah is there in order to, you know, anything that represents Kelipot, we're going to involve ourselves in. The Kelipot also want to rise up to catch the taste of Shabbat. Who doesn't want to taste the taste of Shabbat? They want to enjoy the Kiddushah of the Shabbat. Arizal says, you ever see when they're protesting, they have these water cannons. They take out these water cannons to hose down the protesters. The pressure of the water causes them to go back. It's one of the methods that they crowd control. Now imagine if what was coming out of the hose was hot water. That would clearly, control the crowd very, 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 very strongly from coming up. The Benu Ari says that on Erev Shabbat, when the Kelipot start to want to come up, we must take a hot shower Erev Shabbat. The hot shower is that hose of hot water that's keeping the Kelipot away. That's the sort of a shower, a hot shower, an Erev Shabbat, a hot shower. The Arizal then would say, when you come out of the hot shower, you must dry your body, as opposed to the mikveh. Because this is to keep the Kelipot away, so you don't want to have any, when you're fighting with the Kelipot, you get dirty a little. And by the way, the guys who know the Kavanot of Shalhebet, which is clearly written in Benu Ari, it's an easy Kavanah. I have it, usually carry it with me on Fridays. You know. I got. This would be the kavana over here of the shower that we take on in the Shabbat. It's laminated, so you can take it into the shower. I'm joking, we don't take it into the shower. But the point is, you have the kavana. The point is, the shower on Erev Shabbat is very, very integral. I say hot shower. Now, the secret that happens now happens during. They can't make their move. Every time they try to move on Erev Shabbat, either we're cutting the nails or we're watering them, hosing them down, and they can't. We're always keeping them off balance. That's the legs. Now, therefore, Rabotai. Friday night something happens during Mizmor LeDavid. If you look at Mizmor LeDavid, we say Mizmor LeDavid, Havu LaHashem Bene Elim, Havu LaHashem Kavod Vahoz, Havu. Three Havus, Havu, Havu, Havu. Something amazing happens during those three words, Havu. Although when you're saying it in the Sibur, it doesn't look like anything happened. But that's when the elevator starts to move up. During the first word Havu, the elevator is pushed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden the Olamot start to rise. Now what happens? I'm going to make it as easy as I can make it. You remember I told you that you have the head, like Sam said, the head of the Olam Asiya, Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at? When you say the first Havu, Da'at moves out of the world of Asiya into the world of Biriya, into Yetzira. It moves up a world. You're moving the top of this world into the bottom of the next world. When you say the second Havu, Bina moves up. When you say the third Havu, Chokhmah moves up. So after you say Havu, 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 the top part of Asiya is gone. It's gone. Where is it? It moved up. You know what's happening over here? Now guess what? Once you have an empty space on top, all the others that are on the bottom now have room to move up as well. There's a gap. So Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, they say, there's empty seats in first class. Why should I sit over here in business? So, the stewardess tells them, Chavod, it's empty, nothing to worry. So Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, move up to the head. Now business class is opened. The middle. Well, the bottom guys, the Nesa, Chod, Yesod, they're at the bottom. They tell the stewardess, Efshar, Etkadem, can we move up? Chavod, it's empty, no one's sitting there. So they move up. Now what happens, we have what's called a gap. There is a gap separating the kilipot, an empty space here. So now the kilipot, there's a gap. You understand there's a gap here now? So the kilipot now, there's nothing there. This is the border that we create going into Shabbat to keep the kilipot away. That's exactly why this has to happen. We do not want the kilipot to have any connection. So therefore we need to create what's called a halal, a buffer. A halal, it's called in Kabbalah. Halal is a vacuum. A vacuum. It's an amazing vacuum we created. So the kilipot now, they can't even see it. So far we moved everything up. So like we put the Sahara Desert now, separating between the Kilipot and Shabbat. So therefore, Mizmonet David on Friday night is very important, by the way. The cutting the nails is important, the Hachau is important, and Mizmonet David, Havu, 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 and then the call, the seven calls in Mizmonet David. We say call Hashem seven times, call, it moves everything up. These three move up, these four move up, everything moves up, and then the Sahara Desert is created from there. And the kilipot are now blocked from Kiddushat Shabbat. So far, so good? I'll explain you to this now. The Zohar HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Ali says that Nesach, Hod Yesod, those are the three bottom sections that moved up. Their distance is three parsaot. Each one is a parsa. Nesach is a parsa, Hod is a parsa, and Yesod is a parsa. So the distance between the kilipot and the next sefira is three parsaot. That's the shi'uri says. So far, so good? If you want to explain it in amot, it's 24,000 amot. You following so good? So he writes that from the Torah law, when a person goes outside the tomb, when he walks 24,000, that means he's crossing the Sahara Desert on Shabbat, he is bringing the Kiddushah of his Shabbat into the Kilipot. He traversed that space. Our actions influence the olamot. And therefore, when a person walks that distance, he has now officially taken his Shabbat and he's brought it into the Kiddipot, which is a terrible thing to do. He said, "What did I do? I just walked 24,000 amot." You walked into HELL. Sammy, tell him what that is over there. Which is you walked right into to the lions then. Oh. So the Yerushalmi asks, Tana Rabbi Chaya, Lokin al Eruvet Tehomin, Devar Torah. From the Torah you get Malkut, it's not death. Why? It's Isur. So he says, no. Amar Rav Hashem, Miketiv. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Lokin, Atomer Shabbat, Amar Vayer Uba, Vahadu, Em Beshwa, Ela Sikha, Vekaret, Vakishu, Lachim, Ishtatav, Al Yetzis, Vekamo, Beshwa. Amar, Maketiv, Lo, Al Ketiv. It doesn't say Lo, it says Al. So you see, it's different than a regular lav. Lo, Al. Lo means don't, and Al means don't. But the Yerushalmi already says it's different than all other Yisurim. Arizal explains why. I have a copy of it. I brought it with me. And I'd like you to hear his Lashon. Incredible Lashon. By the way, in Shara Kavanot, he has a whole chapter called Inyan Te'om Shabbat. This is a whole story in itself. Vatam patush mimita lefi shehu motzi et atzmo mechutz l'tchom shel kedusha ve'en pogem rak et atzmo shehotzi et atzmo mechutz l'tchom kedusha makom kelipot. He didn't bring the kelipot into Shabbat. He brought himself out. When one brings himself into the kelipot, there's no mitah on that. Because the damage was limited. You only hurt yourself. You didn't cause damage to anybody else. So when you don't cause damage to anybody else, it's enough for Malkut to fix you. However, when a person comes along and is mehalel Shabbat, in the other 39 melachot, there he's bringing the kelipot into the Shabbat. And therefore he hurts himself and he hurts others. That's what we call the desecration of Shabbat, hilul, melashon halal. Because you're bringing the kelipot into the halal. And once they come into the halal, they can hold on. And now you ruin the Shabbat even for the tzaddikim. Abal ha'oseh melacha b'yom ha'shabbat hayav mita. Lefi shegorem el ha'kelipa ha'nekra melechet chol. The kelipa is called melacha. Melechet chol. Likanes el toch kedushat ha'shabbat. Vegorem ra lo lezulato. Ela lo ulzulato. To him and ולכן עוד שוק גדול מאוד. And that's what we say, מחלליה. מחלליה means, וזה סוד מחלליה מות יומת. והוא מלשון חלל. כי מכניס את הקליפה לתוך החלל, והמקום של הקדושה. וזה נקרא חילול שבת. You're bringing Shabbat into the חילול. Where is, when you walk out of the tomb, you're walking to them. They're staying in their spot. You're just a fool. Why would you walk into the lions then? But you know, at least you're considerate to others. You didn't bother anybody else. So we'll give you malkot. We'll beat you up for a couple of minutes, and you'll be okay. But when you turn on a light on Shabbat, you're bringing the kilipa into the Shabbat, and that already hurts all those that are in the Shabbat already. Mehalelei amot yumat. Oh, so that's an amazing thing. So the question that remains unanswered, is, it was 24,000. What happened to 2,000? Which means everything squares off perfect. The Nesa, Hon, Yesod, each one is a parsa. They all move up. There's three parsaot difference. That's the Sahara Desert. That's the Tchum Shabbat. That's the Mahaneh. Everything's fine. What changed? Comes Abenu Ari and he says something incredible as well. This area that's the halal, hineu gimel parsaot, ki kol sefira nekra parsa. So each sefira is called a parsa, and he gives a reason why. Veze sod shiur mahane Yisrael shaya orko yud bet milin shel gimel parsaot. Veshiur hazeh hu tchum shabbat min haTorah. Ariza talking. Velachen Yisrael bedor haMidbar. Hayu yecholim latzet b'Shabbat ad shiur gimel parsaot shum yud bet mil. Shu shiur ha-makom ha-panui. That's the shiur of the halal. Ben sof ha-kedusha da-asiyah. Which means, asiyah ends, because we moved up. There's a gap, and then there's kelipot. Clear? Ve-ze sod ma'alat Shabbat. Look how beautiful. This is the beauty of the Shabbat. כי הקדושה מתרחקת מן הקליפה. ריחוק גמור. קדושת שבת is not just the words, קדושת שבת. There's a reality that changed. When you feel קדושת שבת, it's because something changed. Again, you people are going to go now and ask a guy from Harvard, somebody that's studying... somebody would take out his seismograph and measure the movement of the earth on Shabbat. It's not going to be any tremors on Shabbat. You're not going to see it. It doesn't come up on conventional machinery or mechanisms. But in the Olam HaNeshamot, stuff happened. So you say, why on Shabbat we feel different? Why do I feel something? Because you're not as close to the Kelipot than you were on Friday. Friday you're on the border of the Kelipot, so you can smell them. They're still there. Shabbat, boom, elevator going up. Zmol David, havu, havu, havu. You're up. You wave to the kiddibot. Ban boyaj, the boat leaves. Ban boyaj, the kiddibot over there screaming. But the guy walks to 24,000 amai, he's back with them. Now watch this, rabotai. Ve'achar shehatu Yisrael, after the Jewish people sinned, Garmu shakilipat tishlot v'tetachez b'me'achol gam b'mkom nesa chod n'yesod. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when we started making sins, the kilipot moved into Asiya. Which means they knew their borders as an adkan. You can't go into Asiya. They try to take a free lift, we move away from them, we create a halal. After a certain period of time, we made so many averot, they walked in, the wall was broken down, they walked into Asiyah, and they got up to Nesa Hod Yesod. During the week. During the week they're in. Now we have a problem with you, because if they're in, so maybe Shabbat's not safe. So the Benu Ari says, wait. What happened was, they were able to take over Hod. Hod they took over. They were able to take over Yesod. Take over meaning have a latch on it. And they were able to take over part of Netzach, but not all of Netzach. They were able to take the parsa of Yesod, they got. So how much meal is that for? they were able to take the parsa of Hod. Another four. So that's eight already. They're on to eight. They're getting closer to us. They're eight. And they were able to take three meal of Netzah. One meal they didn't get to. That's why the Pasuk says, Vegam Nesach Yisrael lo yishaker. The sheker is the kelipot. Nesach Yisrael lo yishaker. The Netzah they weren't able to take complete. So therefore the kelipot came much closer. So now there's only one meal. When we move up on Shabbat, we don't have any more 12 meals separating us. We only have one meal. So when the Hachamim established 2,000 Amah, it was Al-Pi HaKabbalah they were doing it. That means the Gemara Eruvin that says 2,000 Amah, they're not going to tell you that. She's not going to give you Al-Pi Ayin Shara Kavanot. But that's what happened here. Since the Kilipot got closer to the Olamot, so when this moves up, there's less, the Sahara Desert basically got much smaller. V'ahar shehatu Yisrael, nichnesu ha-Kilipot lifnim, keneged nesach od yesod. And he goes on to explain it. V'nimsa, ki b'yom ha-Shabbat, when the sefirot move up, there's only one meal separating. So today, if somebody walks 2,000 amah out of the city, he's already in the kiliport already. You don't got to walk 24,000 already. It's much closer. The sod of Tchum Shabbat is an incredible... Now, what's the sod of the word Tehom Shabbat? Tehom Shabbat, if you remember last week, we gave a long talk. When was that talk? I guess Shabbat morning we talked about it. You remember we talked about the separation between us and the Goyim, between us and, intermarriage and all that stuff. And you remember what we referred to, what we call that imaginary wall that separates us from the Goyim? If you remember, we quoted a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. No, we said in the Shir HaShirim, Gan Na'ul Achoti Chala. We said, Gan Na'ul. The Jewish women in Egypt were like a garden that's locked. Nobody can get in. There was no intermarriage. Gal Na'ul Ma'yan Hatum. By the Jewish people, their Ma'yan, which is their Brit Milah, Hatum was sealed. Meaning there was no intermarriage, no assimilation by the men as well. And we kept on saying the word Hatum. Hatum refers to what? The imaginary world that makes a separation. Remember we said Hatum. Rabbeinu Ari says that's the sod of Tchum Shabbat. Tehum is the same otiyot as Chotam. The secret of Tehum Shabbat is really Chotam Shabbat. Chotam Shabbat means a seal between us and the Kelipot. That's Chotam Shabbat. It's Chotam Shabbat. Understand the depth? Now, That's the secret, by the way, when we tell somebody on the high holidays, Hatima Tova. Not only he should have a good seal, but we're blessing him that he should be protected from the kilipot. There should be a Chotam, Chotmenu Letova, that the Chotam should be. It's an amazing thing. You know, when you get sucked into the kilipot, You know, there was a great rabbi called Elisha ben Avuya.
He was the rabbi of Rabbi Meir. But he got drawn into the kiddipah during the week. He was listening to Greek music. And it says he started to learn Greek philosophy. And he started to get involved in all the tum'ah. And they got him. Now, a person thinks, he thinks he's fighting with the amateurs, lightweights. Once you start getting involved in tum'ah, in things that are not proper, they grab onto you. It's not so easy to get these guys off you, like leeches. Guys, oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. You think you're fighting against a lightweight? There's heavyweights over here. The kiddipot, once they grab a guy, they know how to hold on to the guy forever. So you have to be Elisha ben Avi. I figured, oh, I could go there, fool around with them, and I come out. He never came out. They grabbed him, and he started to be, he committed znut. All that stuff like this. That's the... During the week, boom, you fell right into the dark hole. And he was with them. The famous story is that Rabbi Meir still learned with him, if you remember. Rabbi Meir still learned with him. And on Shabbat, Rabbi Elisha ben Avi was riding on his horse. And Rabbi Meir is following Elisha, learning as he's teaching him on the horse. Elisha is teaching Rabbi Meir on the horse on Shabbat. Don't ask. So as they're walking and walking and walking, all of a sudden Elisha tells Rabbi Meir, Ad kan tum Shabbat. You can't walk anymore. You got to stop here. And then Elisha continues to... There's a reason why the Gemara tells us that part of the story. It's because that's what happened to Elisha. Elisha got so caught up during the week into the Kelipot. So they were on Shabbat. He knew. The Kelipot, stop here for you. But I'm already... I can't. I'm with them already. So even on Shabbat, he went right into the Kelipot. He couldn't control himself already. So you see clearly, our behavior during the week can affect our Shemirat Shabbat. You know, we behave during the week. That's why the whole week we're preparing for the Shabbat. We're preparing for the Shabbat. Keep the kidding. Whatever. But if during the week you're hanging down there, so it's very easy on Shabbat to go, right. We're worried more than that. See, it starts with going into the Kelipot. But what did it say in the Gemara that Elisha ben Avuya did? He actually went and he pulled a radish out of the ground on Shabbat. He made Hilul Shabbat. He brought the Kelipot into the Shabbat. He did worse. He brought the Kelipot into the halal, into the mixture. And then what happens, Abotai? Right when we say, Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, all of a sudden, going down. Now everything comes back, and now the Kelipot are right under us again. Now we don't have that separation. And that's why, if I can explain one more point, Botai. Although there's much to say on this, I'm giving you the easy version of it, which is fine. By the way, most people don't even know the easy version of this. Go explain to somebody. Explain to me, Sod Tehom Shabbat. What are you talking about? You know we have three parts of the neshama? Well, five parts if you want to be... What's the lowest part of the neshama called? Nefesh. What's the next part of the neshama called? Ruah. What's the next part called? Neshama. What's the next part called? Haya. What's the next part called? Yehida. There's five parts of the neshama. Everybody has it. I take it back. There's five parts of the neshama. Everybody has all three. Some people have four, some people have five. See, I always got six parts of the neshama. Anyway, from bottom to top. So if we wanted to, in the holy books, they use these terminologies, there's many ways to use these terms. If I'm talking to neshama, top, bottom to top, I will say, nefesh, ruach, neshama, hayayet, that's in neshama language. Let's say I was talking in olamot. What would the lowest olam, which is the world we live in, what does that represent? Nefesh. The world above it would be called Ruach. The world above that would be called Neshama. And then the world above that would be called Haya. And then there's a world above, even called Ak, would be called Yehida. You understand what I just did? I just applied the five languages to the worlds. Biriyah would be Neshama. By the way, Biriyah is the Olam Neshamot. That's where the Kisei Kavod is. That's where the Neshamot come from. So it makes sense that it's called Neshama. Yitzirah is Ruach. Vayitzir ba'apav, Ruach Hayim. Vayitzir ba'apav. God blew into his Vayitzir. The Olam Yitzirah is Ruach. And Asiyah is the Nefesh. That's the physical part of the body. The physical Nefesh. Vayi Adam, the Nefesh Hayah. Nefesh. Vayi Adam already. That's Olam Asiyah. Nefesh. Understand? What happens on Motzei Shabbat? Motzei Shabbat in Olam Asiyah moves right back down to the border. And now the Kiliput, the dogs are grabbing again. Right on us. You feel them on, you gotta, you know, you feel them on your legs. Like you gotta move them away from you. During Shabbat, you don't feel anything. Shabbat, they're barking from you don't hear the end of the Sahara Desert, you don't hear them. Motzei Shabbat, they're ready. You gotta shoot them away. You gotta get the stick away and just keep the dogs away. The Kiliput, they're right back. So which olam feels the impact the most? Huh? Asiyah. Which is what? That's why the Gemara says, Shabbat v'yinafash. Kevan she-Shabbat, once Shabbat ends, vay le-nefesh. The vay is to the nefesh. The nefesh feels the vay. Not the other olamot don't feel it. Anyway, they're far away from the action. But the nefesh feels it. So that's what Motzei Shabbat, we had to do all these besamim, and you know, try to do all these types of you know, things just to keep the dogs at bay. So the Motai, you know, we're big days, big day. The Shabbat is a big day. And then of course, the main question that you have to ask, which we'll leave it for the next derash, after such a class, the main question is, are you allowed to play basketball on Shabbat? Yeah, or you're allowed to bike ride on Shabbat. That's after you hear this hakdama. Now this question has a place. That's the I'm an artist who has no clue what's going on, so he's still caught up with the basketball. He's still holding by that. You know, he's still can I go to the beach? He's still holding by the beach. And he wants to know muksed. And you tell him, what are you talking about? You have any clue even what we're discussing over here? Do you understand that there's aliyot, there's kelipot, you're on a different level? You want to go back to that? You want to move to closer to that? You don't want to get close to that? 25 hours, you're in a hermetically sealed environment. What do you want to go back to that for? That's the chotam. That's the seal that Tchum Shabbat creates. It's the seal between us and... But Elisha ben Abuya, he was with them. So he went right back into it on Shabbat. He went right back into it on Shabbat. And now this might explain, by the way, I'm not justifying it, but it might explain these zealots that, you know, when there's Hilul Shabbat, they're screaming and they're getting all... and you say to yourself, what are they screaming? The guy wants to have Shabbat, it's their prerogative. It's affecting them. You know, you want to go outside the tomb. Good luck. I don't think they'll scream Shabbos if they're going outside the tomb. If they know this Arizal, go out the tomb. Good luck. You want to kill yourself? Go kill yourself. But you want to bring the Hailul into us? You can't say why don't I scream? Somebody's shooting, I'm going to scream. You're hurting me. You're affecting me. So that's I don't believe the method of throwing a rock through somebody's windshield wiper is going to make somebody make the teshuvah. I don't think that's the method. However. Might have the right idea, the wrong method. Probably if they would scream Shabbos and give out the free lahmajin on the street, that might get a customer to think twice about Hilul Shabbat. Well, yeah, that's methodology. We'll talk about that another time. But lefahot, we understand this the sod. Now, to show you, Hashem runs the world. This was the dirash that I intended to say last night on Thursday night. But I felt that you needed a hakdamah. The guys here today don't need those hakdamot that I gave last night. Although it's a very important hakdamat. I'll probably say it tomorrow morning, those hakdamat. You know them all, but I put it in a different, you know. I presented it. I made the same ingredients as different presentation. Anyway, coming into the class, one of the members, Moshe Stein, who's a member of the class, he's actually related to the Chaim Yosef Karo. Wow. He's a Karo. Anyway, Stein. Maran married Ashkenazi on the second wife. So anyway, he comes in, he always comes in with books. Hakam, I have a new book for you. And his books are always, you know, winners. Okay. What is it on the Teriyak Mitzvot? Sure, Teriyak Mitzvot, B'Jenneh. How does it work? Before I open the book, I'm asking, what's the book? Give me the style. No, Parasha, Parasha. I said, okay, beautiful. Let me open up. I'm about to give the class now. I'm T'chum. Let me open the book. Okay, let's see Parasha B'Shalach. I start reading Parasha B'Shalach, Mitzvah Chavdat, Shelo Yitzchus T'chum. Ki Gimel Tzifirot, Nesa Hod Yesod, מתעלית בחסד גיבורת תפארת. The bottom three move up. ונמצא בהסתלקות האור למעלה, נשאר למטה חלל. והאחיזה של הקליפות שם הוא. ובהסתלקות האור, נסתלק מהם החיות שלהם. They can't get the קדושה, so the קליפות are paralyzed. אשר לזה נקרא חלל. ומישהו עושה מלאכה, אז ממלא אותו חלל, ונכנס שם הקליפה. וזה חילול שבת, עיין שם. לגד הזה. Unbelievable. I don't know if there's... Find, not too many books will give this secret. On the parasha, boom, here's the book. Right there, look at it. I say, this is my derasha. He says, yeah. No, he says, I don't know what that meant. Could you explain it to me? Explain it to me. I'll explain it to you without Hashem. Sit down, I'll explain it to you. And he goes on, explains the whole Arizal over here. At length. Anyway, over here, Rabotai, you see that the what I got out of this over here is when you read the Gemara in Ovin, it says Hachamim established al payim tchum Shabbat. They knew the Ariz. They know everything. Of course, they know everything. Wow. They're not going to tell you their reading. You needed the Ariz to come and reveal what they covered. Everything they did was with tremendous reasons that were kamus imahim, that were hidden only to them. They're not going to tell you all their... So give them the benefit of the doubt. When they made the tekanot, they know exactly, and they know exactly when to do it. They knew exactly the moment when the kiddipot moved up. Emergency rabbinical council meeting. You're all aware that the kiddipot moved up. Yes, we're all aware. All the rabbinim in that meeting, of course, we're well aware of it. We've been monitoring the kiddipot levels. Like carbon monoxide, it's an invisible thing and it's odorless. That detector starts to beep. Oh, the kiddipot are getting close. So that emergency meeting, we got to move it from 12 meal to 1 meal. Took a vote. Okay, I'll talk about it. And they walked out. No. Whatever's in the meeting stays in the meeting. You have to tell them the reason. Just tell them 2,000 amma. Let them break down. Oh, the rabbis, what are they doing to us? They're killing us. You know what? They're saving their lives. These rabbis, well, the Torah says 24,000, have nothing better to do, nothing better. Keep on throwing all your insults to Hachamim. And then later on, when you open up that, you realize, in that meeting, they saved your life to keep the buffer away. That's the inyan of, which means, if you take the word, the halal, basically what it does is, it saves us. Saves us from the kiddipot, the kiddipot can be your name. Halal is 68, and Hayim is 68. That's what they say. Halal gematria Hayim. It's this gap over here that brings Hayim to the Shabbat. Okay. Baruch Amen. Amen.